Ramsey TV.
If ever you wanted a teaching on the sovereignty of God, here it is. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen, in 1 Kings chapter 22. We have the absolute and the relative perspectives here laid out. Such an interesting, introspective, and revelatory way. I'm going to go to 1 Kings 22, as I said, from the Concordant version of the Old Testament. I mean, this is thrilling. Rarely do we see this kind of in-depth, behind-the-scenes look at why things are happening on the stage. You can look at things two different ways. You can look at what's happening on the stage. You could describe the action on the stage, and it's all true as you're describing it, but what's happening on the stage does not comment upon why the things are happening on the stage. That's a completely different viewpoint, known as the absolute viewpoint. The absolute viewpoint is why things are happening. The relative viewpoint is that things are happening. The absolute, again, is why they're happening. 1 Kings chapter 22. They dwelt for 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. It came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, went down to the king of Israel. Now, let me explain. After the days of Solomon, Israel was split into two factions, two kingdoms. The northern house, the southern house, the house of Israel, and the house of Judah. The house of Judah was centered in Jerusalem. The house of Israel, it was a civil war, basically. There was a competing tabernacle in the north, the house of Israel, known thereafter up in Samaria. So here we go. So the king of Israel said to his officials, "Do you know that Ramoth-Gilead is ours? Yet we are inactive and refrain from taking it out of the hand of the king of Syria." So the king of Syria, a heathen king, had captured Ramoth-Gilead, which Israel and Judah both considered to be theirs, kind of like China and Taiwan. So how long are we going to let this country that naturally belongs to us, how long are we going to let it dwell independently? We're going to take it. "Yet we are inactive and refrain from taking it out of the hand of the king of Syria." So he said to Jehoshaphat, the king of Israel, who at this time is Ahab, "Are you going with me to battle at Ramoth-Gilead?" Jehoshaphat replied to the king of Israel, "I likewise such as you. My people likewise such as your people. My horses likewise such as your horses." In other words, yeah, I'm in this with you. Let's go get it. We're not going to let the king of Syria keep Ramoth-Gilead. It's ours. It's always been ours. Should remain ours. Should have remained ours. We've let it get out of our hands. Let's go after it. Jehoshaphat also said to the king of Israel, "I pray, inquire today for the word of Yahweh." Okay, I'll give him credit for that. So the king of Israel convened the prophets, about 400 men, and said to them, "Shall I go against Ramoth-Gilead for battle, or should I forbear?" They replied, "Go up. Yahweh shall give it into the king's hand." Well, Jehoshaphat wasn't buying it. He said, "Is there no other prophet of Yahweh here that we may inquire through him?" 400 guys wasn't enough for him. I think he instinctively knew that these guys were blowing smoke. The king of Israel, Ahab, replied to Jehoshaphat, "Well, there is one more man through whom to inquire of Yahweh, but I hate him." This is scripture. It's so funny, really. Verse 8, "But I hate him. For at no time has he prophesied good for me." This is a bad news prophet. He always prophesies evil. It's Micaiah, son of Imlah. You know that jerk Imlah? He had a kid. Micaiah never prophesies anything good. Jehoshaphat answered, "The king must not speak thus." Like, don't say that. Then the king of Israel called a certain court official and said, "Do bring Micaiah, son of Imlah, quickly." The king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, being clothed in their royal robes, were sitting each one on his throne at the threshing site by the portal of the gate of Samaria, and all the people before them feigned themselves prophets. Oh, they feigned themselves prophets. All of Christianity today feigns itself prophets, feigns itself to understand the ways of God, to understand the Word of God. They're self-aggrandizing. They're self-appointed prophets, but they don't know anything. As we're going to see, it's the same thing with these prophets. I love this. They feigned themselves prophets. They fancied themselves prophets. Zedekiah, son of Chenana, made for himself horns of iron. This Zedekiah guy, son of Chenana, well, you wouldn't expect anything different from a son of Chenana, really, made for himself horns of iron and said, "Thus speaks Yahweh." BS. Yahweh didn't speak this, but anyway, I'm quoting the guy. "Thus speaks Yahweh, with these you shall gore Syria unto their finish." And all the prophets were prophesying so, saying, "March up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper. Yahweh will give it into the king's hand." Now the messenger who had gone to call Micaiah spoke to him. So in the meantime, while this Zedekiah was putting on this show with the horns, it's like, "Watch this." All right. While he's doing that, the servant goes to get Micaiah. And he says to him, as he's leading him into the throne room, he says, "Behold, I pray." Okay. He's giving him some advice, putting his arm around him. I picture, you know, okay, listen. "I pray, let your words become like one word with these other prophets." They're all saying, "Yes, go up." Just kind of agree with them. Can you do that? "And speak good things about going up against Ramoth Gilead." Yet Micaiah replied, "As Yahweh lives, what Yahweh should say to me, this is it that I shall speak." At which time the guy was probably rolling his eyes like, "I'm trying to tell you." When he came to the king said to him, "Micaiah, shall we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall we forbear?" He replied to him, "Yeah, march up and prosper. Yahweh will give it into the king's hand." Now, I think he knew, the king knew that Micaiah was blowing smoke. And the king said to him, "How many times have I been adjuring you, telling you over the years that you should speak to me nothing but the truth in the name of Yahweh?" Problem is, when anybody spoke the truth according to Yahweh, he usually got himself thrown into a well or beheaded or jailed or sent away into the wilderness. It was never good to speak the truth to any of these kings of Israel, for any prophet to speak the truth. They never liked it. Truth is rarely popular. "How many times have I been adjuring you that you should speak to me nothing but the truth in the name of Yahweh?" So then Micaiah sobered up and he replied, "I saw..." Okay, he replied, "Okay, all right. You want to know the truth? Okay. I saw all Israel scattered over the mountains like a flock of sheep that have no shepherd. And Yahweh said, these have no Lord. Let each man return to his home in peace." End quote. At this, the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "Didn't I tell you that at no time he prophesied good for me, but rather evil?" It's like, yeah, business as usual with this guy. "I told you over and over again, here we go, same old bad news. Mr. Eeyore here coming in telling me, you're going to lose the battle, don't even go." Micaiah replied, "Not so. Hear the word of Yahweh. I saw Yahweh sitting on his throne." Here's the backstage pass. Now we're going to look at what this amazing man of God, this Micaiah, saw. Micaiah replied, "Not so. Hear the word of Yahweh. I saw Yahweh sitting on his throne, and all the host of the heavens standing by him, to his right and to his left. Yahweh said, who shall entice Ahab, the king of Israel?" And this is looking, Micaiah was looking into the heavenly vault, into the throne of God, behind the scenes, where spirits, the spirits of God, the spirits that attend God, are holding court. God is holding court, and the spirits are there. And God says, he's reporting this. Micaiah says, Yahweh said, who shall entice Ahab that he may march up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? Now, here's a strange thing. God wanted Ahab to fall, and he wanted Jehoshaphat to fall at Ramoth Gilead. This was God's intention. And wait till you see how he brings about his intention. Just like yesterday, I said he imparted his opinion to 10 kings to give their kingdom to the wild beast. He caused these kings to do a bad thing, but a necessary thing. Same thing is happening here. Who shall entice Ahab that he may march up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? Now, this one said thus, and another one said this, this and thus, this, thus and this. Then a spirit came forth, stood before, this is a bold spirit right here. This is a spirit, not a dead human being, a spiritual being, an angel, a powerful one, probably. Then a spirit came forth. And again, this is what Micaiah is relating to Jehoshaphat and Ahab. A spirit came forth, stood before Yahweh and said, I myself shall entice him. Yahweh asked him, by what means? He replied, I shall go forth and I will become a false spirit in the mouth of all his prophets, all 400 of these sycophants. Then Yahweh said, you shall entice, and moreover, you shall prevail. So God telling the spirit, yeah, I like this plan. Of course, God himself inspired it. You go and you be a false spirit. Pose as a false spirit in the mouths of the prophets. Cause these prophets to tell the king something wrong. To tell the king of Israel and the king of Judah, Ahab and Jehoshaphat, to do something, quote, wrong, unquote, that is really right because I want them to fall at Ramoth Gilead. And it's not in our purview here to know why God wanted them to fall, just that he did. You shall entice, and moreover, you shall prevail. Go forth and do so. And now, Micaiah continues, and now behold, King Ahab, King Jehoshaphat, Yahweh has bestowed a false spirit into the mouth of all these prophets, all 400 of them, for Yahweh himself has decreed evil concerning you. Woo! This was not a popular thing to say. Now Zedekiah, son of Chenana, came close, smote Micaiah on the cheek, and said, just where is the way that the spirit of Yahweh passed from me to speak with you? Oh, we encounter this every day. Are you telling us that the Spirit of God skips over us, the expositors of Christianity, the degree-holding priests and high people of Christianity, the prophets of Christianity? You're telling us that the Spirit of God has passed over us to speak to you, a nobody in Fort Lauderdale, or you, a nobody in Alberta, Canada, or you, a nobody in Nebraska, in Poland, you in the body of Christ, in Texas, in Outer Mongolia, in South Africa, you little people of no reputation. You telling me that you're right and all the magnates, the so-called prophets, the so-called experts, the so-called scholars of Christianity are wrong? How is this even possible? Exactly what's happening here. This little guy, Micaiah, against the 400 approved prophets of the kings of Israel and Judah. And the guy's so frustrated, this Zedekiah, he punches Micaiah in the face. Micaiah replied, behold, you shall be seeing it on that day when you come to hide in the chamber, inside a chamber. Oh, you're going to hide. You're going to go up and you're going to be ashamed. You're going to be routed and you're going to hide. And you're going to hide inside a chamber, in a chamber, and then you're going to realize that I spoke to you the truth. We are going to be telling these people someday when they are flailing and they are hearing Jesus Christ say to them, Depart from me, workers of lawlessness. I never knew you. They're going to be hiding in the caves during the tribulation. And they're going to realize on that day that the little people, that the members of the body of Christ had the Spirit of God. And we had access to the secrets of God via our Apostle Paul. And we spoke the truth. And they hit us. They smote us on the cheek because they were incensed that we insisted that we were right and they were wrong. That we, the little people, were right. And the thousands and thousands and thousands of so-called experts who can't even translate their way out of a paper bag, they were wrong all along. They mistranslated Ion. They mistranslated Gehenna, Hades, and Tartarus, and they taught error. And it was God himself who inspired spirits to become evil spirits and to give the falsehood into the mouths of these fakers, these posers of Christianity, to cause them to tell all their acolytes, all their people, lies, so that the people would believe the lie, so that the people would fall, so that they would fall at, quote, Ramoth Gilead, unquote, so that they would go to this war of their own making, with their own self-important dreams of superiority, and cause them to be completely ashamed in the day of the Lord of what they believed. And they will know in that day that we spoke to them the truth, because we know the inner workings of God, because God called us behind the curtain and showed us his ways and his truth. And behold, you shall be seeing it on the day. You're going to know this someday. You're going to find out. And you're going to be hiding in that day. I stand before you speaking things you don't want to hear. We speak of the salvation of all. They don't want to hear it. We speak of the sovereignty of God. They don't want to hear it because they don't want to give up their free will. We speak of the death of Jesus Christ. They don't want to hear it because they think Jesus Christ is God. They don't want to hear it. And they can't believe that we have the audacity to say that we're right, and that they, with all their vaunted numbers and all their vaunted universities, are dead wrong. And yet they are. Then the king of Israel said, take Micaiah and turn him back to Ammon, chief of the city, and to Joash, son of the king. And you will say, thus said the king, put this stupid guy in the house of detention. In other words, jail him and feed him with bread. Feed him with bread of oppression and water of oppression until I come back in peace. Well, guess what, motherfucker? You're not coming back in peace. You're going to be wiped out. You're going to die. And the Lord is going to say to you, I never knew you, workers of lawlessness. In the meanwhile, the people in prison eating the bread of oppression and drinking the water of oppression are the true spokespeople of God. And they have the words of God that you hated, because you hated the truth, because you chose tradition over truth, just like your forebears, the Pharisees. Micaiah replied, should you return, yea, return in peace, then Yahweh has not spoken to me. Yeah, if you come back like you say you're going to do, then I'm a liar, but you're not going to come back. If you Christians march into the kingdom, then we're liars. If you Christians who say you know the Lord actually know the Lord, and the Lord shepherds you into the kingdom, then we haven't spoken the truth at all. But we say to you that the Lord will say to you, I never knew you, workers of lawlessness. Depart from me. And then Micaiah added, hear ye peoples, all of them. He's trying to speak to the people, trying to make them understand. What happened? Verse 29, 1 Kings 22, the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, marched up to Ramoth-Gilead because they listened to the 400 false prophets who were responding to an evil spirit put in their minds that they had no idea what was happening. They had no idea where they got the idea to tell the kings to go up to battle against Ramoth-Gilead. They had no idea, and I'm sure they were completely insulted when Micaiah told them that an evil spirit had done it. Because they feel completely independent. There you go. There's the Christian affliction right there. They feel independent. They don't feel the influence of God. Therefore, they don't think the influence of God exists. They're ignorant. They can't feel it. They can't touch it. They can't smell it. They don't think it exists. They're ignorant. They're daft animals. And they just go up. They go up because they think that they're the authorities and they have no influence. Nobody influenced me to prophesy the way I did. I did it of my own accord. I have free will. And up they went against Ramoth-Gilead. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and enter into the battle. Yet you put on my garments. So the king of Israel disguised himself and entered into the battle. As for the king of Syria, he instructed the 32 chief chariot officers that he had, saying, you shall not fight with the small or the great, but rather with the king of Israel and him alone. Anyway, it came to be, as the chief chariot officers saw Jehoshaphat, they said, surely this is the king of Israel. They turned around to fight against him. Jehoshaphat cried out. Now it came to be, as the chief chariot officers saw he was not the king of Israel, they turned back from following him. Someone drew his bow at random and smote the king of Israel between the scale armor and the body armor. Little tiny hole in the armor. Ooh, little tiny hole. And the arrow got through. God got through and killed him. Well, the Christians have a giant hole in their armor. They're practically naked. And God's going to get them. God's going to judge them. And this is how it happened. They foolishly listened to the false prophets, to those who claim to be the experts on the ways of God and the words of God. Yet they're nothing of the kind. They're posers. They're fakers. Self-important. Self-righteous. Confidence in the flesh. And they go up and they will try to hide and they'll try to disguise themselves. And yet God will find them. He will find them against all their little protections. And as I said, not only is there a crack in their armor, but there is no armor. They have no armor. They're naked. The emperor is naked. It will be easy for God to expose them in that hour. But this is the hour of their celebration. This is the hour when they're still prosperous, when they're still making their plans to go up and take back America for God. Bring the Ten Commandments to the world. Bring a theocracy by their hands to the earth. A premature kingdom that will be executed by God, so-called filling them. No, these are self-righteous dreams of their own confidence, of their own imagination, their own phantasmagorical ideas of what they think they are and what they think God is. But they're all wrong. And when they're slain in the battle, they will know in that hour that God spoke through the little ones, through the despised ones, through the ones who are eating the bread of oppression and drinking the water of oppression that they themselves gave them. And they will be ashamed in that day. The truth will come out. The truth will come out that we indeed have been the spokespeople of God, declaring the conciliation of the world as of God, entreating through us to be conciliated to God, for God is conciliated to you. This message at the present time is unknown in Christianity. And they're about to go forth with their false message to change the world for God. They've been doing it for centuries. And finally, the hour is coming when the battle they've been dreaming of will draw nigh, and they will go into the battle with all their pride, all their so-called armor, all their self-righteousness, and they will die. They will die. But not before the horrid, and I hate this for them, I really do, because I know some friends who are going to suffer this. The horrid realization that they were wrong all along, and that little person in the body of Christ who had no reputation in the world, but who saw the plans of God whispered to them through the gospel of Paul, they were right the whole time. And there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And they are the last people who think that they will be weeping and gnashing their teeth. But that's exactly what they will be doing. And while they are doing that, we will have been glorified together with the dead in Christ, taken to the right hand of God, where we will have nothing but praise and thanksgiving that we avoided the fate of the posers, the fate of the fake, the false apostles of Christ, inspired by evil spirits, though they never knew it, never aware of it, inspired by evil spirits. It's all of God, yes, because God sent out the evil spirits to be a deceiving voice in the mouths of these people. And as long as you know this, you can have peace about what's happening now, okay? But what's happening now is not always how it's going to be. The hour is coming and it's very near when the tables will be turned and we will be shown to have been the spokespeople of God, and they will be ashamed. Yet in the end, God is the Savior of all, but especially of believers.